You're listening to the IM&M Intelligent Buildings podcast with founder and CEO of the IM&M Suite, Paul Wells.
Hi, my name's Paul Wells and I'm here today to bring you the first in a series of podcasts on intelligent buildings. Today's topic is why is it important to make buildings intelligent? And it's been produced to get you thinking about your buildings and environment. Later in this series, we'll be talking to some of the people responsible for delivering new intelligent buildings, as well as the people tasked with running them once they're delivered. Currently, if you speak to four different experts, you will probably get four different answers on the topic of what makes a building intelligent, as most experts only look at the makeup of the building in the area where they're most comfortable. Unfortunately, with the advent of IoT, government's carbon reduction requirements, well-being and sustainability drivers and goals, this is no longer sufficient, as an intelligent building encompasses everything from the IT and facilities through to the whole spectrum of building processes, designers, architects, planners, to installers, operators and system providers. So it's little wonder that depending where they sit in the value chain, you will get a different answer on their view of what constitutes an intelligent building, and it will inevitably be biased towards their speciality. This is where we come in and say that in our view, you need to get a very holistic view of everything before you can even start to think about making a building intelligent. But wherever you start and how much you intend to do, your starting question must be, how does any change benefit the people using space? There's no point making a building intelligent if it doesn't benefit the people using it. One way I often describe intelligent buildings is as an internal area that is utilised to enhance the well-being of the occupants whilst minimising the energy and environmental impact in a flexible, cost-effective, sustainable way. Well, this is all really good marketing words, but what's actually mean in reality? Simply put, if you use your building efficiently, you will reduce your costs. You will also improve the efficiency of your building space. Do it really well, and your space becomes agile, meaning that it's easier to change and adapt to your business changing needs. Do it really, really well, and your staff will like to come to work, and you will attract and retain the best talent. People like to work where they feel comfortable. I know I certainly do. Nobody wants to work in rows and rows of desks or in sterile cubicles that stops any creativity or intelligent thought. Most of us spend a lot of time trying to make it home from home by adorning the space with pictures and mementos that remind us of a better place. Surely this tells us something. And as your staff are your most expensive asset, why wouldn't you want to keep them happy? So why is it important to make our buildings intelligent? We all hear and read about saving the planet before it's too late, which is a great ideal and one that we need to think about. But do you know the part the building actually plays in this? For instance, did you know that 40% of all greenhouse gases are produced by buildings whilst they're in use? Yet when we build new buildings, we almost never put any thought into making them carbon neutral, even though this is really the time to do it. Architects, consultants, builders, they all still design and build in the same way as they always have. And everyone would tell you that they are green, committed to ethical and ecological development. Yet what they produce time and time again is more of the same. We've worked on a number of projects, all proposing to be intelligent and energy efficient, yet none of them actually did anything to back this up. In our view, all buildings should be built with carbon neutrality in mind. You have to dig out the foundations, and the building is normally built with a 50-year lifespan. So why not install solar panels or a geothermal power plant as part of the install? The additional cost is tiny in the overall scheme of the project, but the savings can be immense. We recently worked on one building that was proposed as an intelligent eco building. Yet there's no energy collection and the architects were so fixated on the aesthetics, they either failed to consider or actively missed the fact that the terraces they built were on the north side of the building. Either that, or the builders read the plans upside down when they started to build it. Had they turned the building 180 degrees, they could have put up solar walls, and if nothing else, this could have heated the hot water system for free. So why am I so passionate, you may ask? The answer is simple. Being green is more than just about saving money. It's also about reducing our costs, not increasing. It's about being efficient rather than wasteful. Yet almost every company I talk to fail to see the benefits or think they're too hard to implement. As a good friend keeps telling me, businesses are only interested in making money or saving money. And he's right. However, in my experience, if companies are making money, they often forget or neglect to think about saving money. After all, if you're making lots of money, does it really matter? Well, in the past, I'd say this attitude was fine, but not anymore. And to be truthful, a good organisation should be looking at both making money and saving money in equal measures. The government is committed to becoming carbon neutral in this country, but how can we do that when things being built are not environmentally friendly? The simple answer is they will tax people into doing it. It's called the carbon credits. And whilst at the moment it's only the big organisations being targeted, this will change. Being more energy efficient not only saves you money, it reduces your costs. It also increases your efficiencies and puts you back in control. Some of the savings are simple, such as turning the lights off when they're not being used. And some would take more time and money. But if you don't start now, they will never happen. Everyone needs to make a conscious effort. We need to educate and inform. And it doesn't matter if you're in a new building or an existing building. There's simple ways to save money, reduce your overheads, and make your building work for you rather than being just four walls and a lot of desks that you go to every day. Moreover, more and more employers are also seeing that well-being is a means of attracting and retaining top talent. Young people want to work in a more relaxed surroundings with more flexibility and room to interact. So why not give them the tools to thrive and succeed, rather than restricting and hampering their creative flair? Leading companies are looking at these changes not only as a way of making the environment more agile and attractive, but also as a way of reducing costs. With desks in the City of London costing between £15,000 and £25,000 a year to run, reducing even a few can have considerable benefits to your organisation's running costs. More importantly, we've seen time and time again that changing the environment can definitely have an impact on well-being and people's general happiness at work. As I always say, you spend a lot of time at work, and if you don't enjoy being there or in the surroundings that you are in, there's definitely an impact. And this can range from poor workmanship through to actively trying to disrupt the organisation's ability to trade. So now we know why it's important, but we still don't know how to go about making our buildings intelligent. Well, this is where it gets a bit more interesting. There is no one right answer. It really depends on the culture and the people in the building. Building intelligent is first and foremost about the people using the space. No two organisations will need the same thing. However, what is generally accepted is that certain things can definitely help. For instance, if it's an older building and the air conditioning or heating doesn't have the ability to be adjusted or zoned correctly, then simply showing where the hot and cold spots are and the free desk is a quick way to allow people to go to the area where they feel most comfortable. It also highlights areas where people don't want to sit, and these can be potentially be repurposed for ad hoc meetings or breakout points. After all, there's never really enough meeting rooms, is there? Checking your energy usage from your bills and comparing it against the actual energy usage is a really good way to tell not only what is using the energy, but it also helps you tell if you can make it more efficient. As stated earlier, turning the lights out when not required. It sounds so obvious, but the number of buildings we go into that have their lights on all the time would amaze you. And this includes buildings that are meant to be energy efficient. Turning down the chillers and running proactive maintenance to extend the life of components. All really easy to do, but yet often neglected or overlooked. There are lots more that can be done, but in this podcast, we're just trying to get you to think about the problems and look at what we need to do as an organisation to save money and enhance your environment. For any of this to work, we recommend a three-step process, which we call IM&M, or investigate, manage, and then maximise. Investigate to show you what's happening. Manage allows you to look at how it can be improved. And then maximise is all about reducing your costs and increasing your productivity. After all, the bottom line is ultimately to save you money. Now for a word of warning. Before you speak to an organisation about intelligent buildings, ask them how they do it. Don't rely on the fact that they are a large company with a glossy website. Actually get them to tell you what they do and how they do it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of organisations that say they do intelligence, but in reality, they will sell you exactly the same solution they've been providing for the last 20 plus years, just with a new shiny wrapper on it. In the rest of this series, we talk to a number of leading companies to get their views on how they've added wellbeing and intelligence to their buildings, and what's been the outcome, both good and bad, for the organisation. We'll also look in more detail at the differences between retrofitting an existing building and what we can and should be doing on our new builds. I'm Paul Wells, and this was an introduction to intelligent buildings. For more information, go to our website at http://www.immsuite.com or contact us on 02 07 112 1695. Thank you.
For more information about our intelligent building solutions, visit immsuite.com.